Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob. Now, decision on Uncle Paul and Uncle Popeye's Australian climate case. Having filed their case against the Australian government in October 21 in fear of their homelands, Torres Strait Island traditional owners, Uncle Paul Cowboy and Uncle Pabai will now hear the federal court's decision on the fate of their homes, communities and culture at risk from climate disaster. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Uncle Pabai Pabai. Have him on the line. Uncle Pabai, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, brother. Yeah, I'm good, brother. Yeah.
I thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Uncle, can you let the mob know who your mob and where you're from, please?
Yeah, brother. I'm from Torres Strait, brother, up at the Top Western, Gudumalugal Nation. My community, my island is Boigu Island.
Boigu
is located on the western end of the Torres Strait. Near to the coastal line of international border of Papua New Guinea there, brother.
Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful country. Thank you very much. Look, congratulations in the fight the good fight, and you and Uncle Paul have been fighting there for your countrymen and protecting of your island. Now, we're talking about the decision on the landmark case will be handed down. Look, coming up to Tuesday, 15 July. How are you feeling? You excited? Are you happy with what you've done and regarding what you put on the table? Where you at, Uncle Pabai?
Yeah, brother. It's been a long journey for us.
Yes.
Myself and Uncle Paul, we've been tackling this climate issue for our community and around the Janet Case and all the Torres Strait Island out there, mob there. You know, brother, it's good, like us guys been on our journey for 4 years now.
Yes.
To tackling this climate change with the government. Brother, it's, you know, I feel that come to this stage, as we mentioned there, brother, like on the 15th, we've got the final decision going to end it out on this case here, brother. You know, I'm looking forward for that because I'm just letting us know that last couple of weeks ago we've been going through the court system and we've been won the evidence statement and statement that we put it through to the government. We've won that, you know, brother. It's been on. When we won that one, we've been coming to tears, brother.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
that's the emotion that we feel for our community too, brother. It's not only that, my brother. It's it's like the homeland.
Homeland, exactly.
Where we're from, yeah.
Well, you're talking about global climate. It is real, and you know, ice is melting. For example, the Earth is heating up, and we need to protect our islands because if we're not careful, 30 years down the track, our islands can become uninhabitable. Yes.
Yeah, my brother, we now on this stage on 1.5 year now.
Mm.
You know, if you're gonna go up a bit higher than that, my brother, our community, our island will be go under the water.
Exactly.
Water, brother. This is what we're talking about. You know, we stand really firm on our land. We don't want to lose our land.
Exactly.
Because sometimes when we're looking at government can just do something like for us, we don't want to be a climate refugee as well.
Exactly. And the government needs to act on this space. I mean, like I said, global climate is real, and they need to come to attention. So the decision is so very important. but the right decision needs to be made, Uncle Pabo.
Yes, brother, because we only see the climate change, but also we're connected through our victim of bushfires and all that flood victim around Queensland, around Australia. My brother, we're looking at that as well.
Yes.
So in that case, we're looking into how the cruelty, if you have bushfires, bushfire victim, you know, we're talking about those type of, you know,
disasters and disasters.
Through, yeah,
exactly.
Brother, you know, that's very, very bad, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And because we're talking about sea rising, that is a disaster. It's just like a fire on the mainland, on the big island of Australia. It's a disaster. And we need to have preventative decisions here that's going to support and look after people on country, yes?
Yes, my brother. This is why we're knocking on government doors really hard to support. Like, it's happening now, my brother, because in couple of years time back now, my brother, what will do for our young generation?
Exactly.
For their livelihood.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, if we're gonna be go underwater, my brother, we'll be losing our identities, you know.
This well, exactly, exactly. And then we start to think as black people, if this was white communities in the Torres Straits, the job would have been done. The decision would have been made years ago.
Yeah, brother, that's right. That's
if you look
that
at
that
it, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Like exactly right, my brother. Because they're not doing anything for tourist rates and our people, brothers and sisters from the mainland.
Exactly.
You know, we're pushing hard and hard and hard, so hard. Mm. You know, they need to listen to us because we know our culture. We're telling them what to do. Because it's been happening.
Exactly.
This is why we've been pushing this, and the government don't reply on the statement that we put it through for the government.
Exactly.
This is why we're knocking on the government to make the decision now.
Yes. Uncle, look, thank you so very much. Congratulations in regard to your fight. Still waiting on the decision. Just around the corner, 15 July. Looking forward to the decision. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. Thank you for communicating. Big shout out to Pomlide, we're Boygu Island. And look, you have a great day. And we'll yarn soon, my uncle.
Oh, thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Oh, yawo.
Yawo.
Beautiful yarn there, and that's Uncle Pabo Pabo, a proud traditional owner with their Boygu Island, and him and Uncle Paul were waiting on the decision in regard to an Australian climate case, and that should be coming out Tuesday, 15 July, just around the corner, and in regard to the protection of their land, their communities, and the cultural risk because of a climate disaster, from climate disaster. So, very important conversation there. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. National Talk Black, have your say, Nyan Up Strong, Too Deadly.
Crashing on the shore. the keepers of their cultural ways. Ancient knowledge of the sea, protectors of their tribal land. Island family.
Sea levels to rise. Delay in global action will jeopardize the small amount of time we have left. To secure our island life into the future, Gasamana!
Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbaburrup Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Israeli Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. All right, transformative role. Aboriginal land councils can help New South Wales reach renewable energy targets. Unlocking the renewable energy potential of Aboriginal land could transform communities and accelerate New South Wales' clean energy transition. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Lead Research Professor Heidi Norman, Director of Indigenous Land and Justice Research Group at University of New South Wales in Sydney. A very good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, thank you. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Professor Heidi?
I'm here in Sydney, in the area of Randwick. So it's just east of the city of Sydney. It's Bidjigal country. It's a big sandstone ridge, and that flows down to wetlands on the western side, and on the eastern side you've got the beaches and the coast.
Beautiful, and thank you for the description of where you are. But I will say, from Cairns, North Queensland, wherever your description is, it's cold down there. Yes,
it is cold, windy, rainy. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation, and we're talking about transformative role Aboriginal land councils can help New South Wales reach renewable energy targets. So, enlighten us, please, about this space, and when we're talking about First Nation people being at the table, so very important. Enlighten us regarding this conversation, please, Professor.
Yes. So we started this research. It's focused on New South Wales, and it's focused on the Aboriginal Land Rights Act and the land councils that the Act created. So that the land rights laws in New South Wales go back to 1983, and the laws created about 120 now land councils across. There's quite a few across the city, and in most country towns, bush towns across New South Wales, there'll be a local Aboriginal land council present.
Mm-hmm.
And while our work is focused on land councils and land rights, we also know that there's a decade after land rights in New South Wales came native title and recognition of traditional owner groups. So we've got sort of a different regime, if you like, that's also in place. But for our purposes, we did focus on land councils, but we hope that it's useful for across the country in thinking about how you can plan your involvement in this energy revolution and the emissions reduction.
Well, we've got a land. When we talk about land, and we're talking about first people claiming their land and getting their land back, what have you, looking after country, yes, but the land also become a financial vehicle, can it not?
Yes, and that's, you know, one of the features of land rights in New South Wales is that it was intended, among other things, to create an economic base for communities.
Okay.
And so, you know, over time, ideas have come up and then they've fallen away, and initiatives have been, thought about. Some of them continue on today, like tourism businesses, for instance. There's a couple of really, really profitable ones, if you like. They create a lot of jobs for their people.
Yep.
But the energy revolution is another big opportunity.
Mm.
And at the moment in New South Wales, and probably in a lot of other areas, this response to climate change to reduce emissions by changing the energy system from reliance on fossil fuels like coal and gas to a renewable source like wind and sun, it has to happen quickly. And it's been largely confined to, say, Aboriginal jobs and Aboriginal businesses for procurement.
Yep.
And the argument we're making is that actually, what will turn the dial significantly in terms of wealth and how this aligns with your values is equity and ownership in these projects.
Yes. So are we talking about our people getting knowledgeable, getting educated in this space and the vehicle that we're talking about, renewable energies? Is the information being hidden from First Nation people operating on their land, or what do we need to do to have the education front and centre?
I think, there's that education piece. There's a strategic piece, so thinking strategically. Anecdotal evidence suggests that these energy proponents, as we call them, you know, this is the businesses who go into tender for the big, to build the, you know, wind turbines or build the solar farms. They, up to this point in time, at least in New South Wales, they step around Aboriginal landholders. Too complicated, too difficult. But that is about to change.
Okay,
and
good.
It's about to change because from next year, or certainly in the near future, there's going to be incentives for these proponents to actually deal with Aboriginal landholders or Aboriginal groups to negotiate equity or property ownership.
Well, there could be possibility of joint ventures with free enterprise or private companies, Indigenous or non-Indigenous opportunity, I would think, yes?
Yeah. That's the direction things are heading.
All right.
And I guess from a community point of view, what is needed is to, if you want to, of course, I mean, free, prior and informed consent should be at the front.
Front and centre,
But if you want to, then what do you need to do to get ready to take advantage of these sort of bigger policy shift.
Yes, okay, lovely, fantastic.
And I think that's what you're picking up there and saying, like, we've got to get educated, we've got to know what this is about.
Sure.
What are our land holdings? What of our land holdings are suitable for hosting a, you know, whether it be a battery or a microgrid or a big scale solar farm or wind turbines?
Yep. And so you lead, you as a lead researcher, Professor Hardy, you are, of course, engaging with our First Nation people who've got their land back and what they can do with the land, how to go about it. So you're the bridge builder, you could say, regarding the education we're talking about, yep?
In a sense, there's a few really good groups working in this area. But okay. From our point of view, from the university researchers, you know, universities are good places to, and they should be supporting our mob to do this work because there's so much expertise at universities.
Of course, yeah.
And one of the things we've been doing is what's referred to as geospatial analysis.
Mm.
So that's engineers and also the renewable energy engineers working together to look at, say, a local Aboriginal land council, look at your land holdings.
Yep.
And they've devised a methodology for assessing the wind and solar potential.
Yeah.
And that methodology, we hope that any Aboriginal land holding group across the country could pick up
exactly.
and apply to analyse their land holdings and think about, you know, what might be suitable, mm-hmm. whether it be a small scale project or a big scale project. You have to look at the energy infrastructure, all the transmission lines, you know, what your current energy demands are. And, you know, climate change is a big factor there too.
Of course. And then as we're talking about operating land, using land as the financial vehicle, so to speak, non-Indigenous people are doing it for donkey's years. And here we are now at the table in regard to having ownership of our land. Let's be productive with it. So we've actually got a level playing ground, you could say. We're at the table.
Yes. And some land councils that we met with, they was, you know, thinking... say in majority Aboriginal towns where, and they've become majority Aboriginal towns over time because of the white flight and the farming industries, they've been increasingly mechanised so they don't have the same labour demands. So, a lot of Aboriginal leaders in those towns are saying, if we want to stay on country, if we want to create reasons for our kids to stay in in our town and stay in their community, we have to drive the new future economic opportunities.
Use the new vehicles that are available in the 21st century. Yes, exactly. Hey, beautiful yarning with you. Professor, thank you very much. Keep doing what you're doing. Stay warm, and we will yarn soon, my sister. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Lovely talking to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Professor Heidi Norman, director of, she's lead researcher and director of Indigenous Land and Justice Research Group at University of New South Wales in Sydney, and transformative role, Aboriginal land councils can help New South Wales reach renewable energy targets, unlocking the renewable energy potential of Aboriginal land and could transform communities and accelerate New South Wales' clean energy transition. So it's an opportunity galore. So if you are First Nation people, have got your land back, it's a financial vehicle. Learn it, how you can operate and make it work for you and look after your families forever and a day. There it is. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. And a big shout out to NERS, National News Radio Service, takes us across the country. National Talk Black, your daily program. And we're based here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM, here on Yidinji Country, Gimoy. And have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. Too Deadly, National Talk Black.
back down. Ooh, no respect. Maringo, Kuyula Jara. Oh, Yaba Molo, Bulu Yai. Maringo, Kuyula Jara.
Hey you mob, did you know Child's World Early Learning Centre's free kindergarten approved program has been nurturing growth and learning for over 30 years with early childhood education for children aged from 6 weeks to kindergarten? To find out more, get in contact at 4045 4045. Station sponsor.
Hey, which way you mob? We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor. Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416. Yendoba napi bamada. Yendoba kachana bamada. Yendoba gadan. Yendoba listen.
Rebecca Malboy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidindji Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, daily number here, 1-800-422-416. All right, too deadly a mob. Money's not everything, but I'll rank it right up there with oxygen. Money's a tool, and we have to get to know how to use that tool, be productive with that tool. And it's a way of getting, financially intelligent. We're going to talk to a deadly brother who's in this space, and that's Bradley Gibbard. And he's with Indigenous Wealth, founder and director. And got Bradley on the line. Bradley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you very much. You're a good brother, and thank you for coming. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Bradley?
So my people are the Wailan people. We come from Canamble, just central New South Wales. So I was adopted as a baby, and I was raised up in Western Sydney. So my people Wailan come from Canamble, central New South Wales, but I grew up in Western Sydney. So Western Sydney's home for me. Now I live in Gadigal country in Sydney.
All right, beautiful, brother. I'm talking to an entrepreneur. Here you are, Indigenous Wealth, founder and director. Look, knowledge is power, but knowledge is potential power, I've always thought. And being in this space, my brother, the financial world, finance, it's about getting financially intelligent. Rich people got money working for them, and poor people working for money. So you can turn their thinking around, change your thinking, you can change your life, my brother. And I'm so excited to be having yarn with you and the work that you're doing. So first of all, just give a bit of background. Who's Bradley Gimbert? Is that the pronunciation? Gimbert?
Gimbert, yep.
Gimbert. Bradley, who's one. Yeah, thank you, brother. Who's Bradley Gimbert?
Yep, so as I said, basically, pretty much, who am I? So I guess I'm the founder and director of Indigenous Wealth, mm-hmm. But I guess I see myself as just someone who's, I guess, trying to make a better impact for myself,
yep.
And I guess my people, right? So I started awesome. Indigenous Wealth with the idea that, you know, we've been left out of the game in terms of wealth creation, building a better future for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
determining our own future, and ultimately making decisions for ourselves. We've always got, you know, the government, the powers that be, everyone sort of dictating that for us, and I think that time is up. And so I started doing this wealth to basically bring all those services in-house that wealth can build, so finance, property investment, accounting, financial planning, and soon much more. That's run by mob for mob, or completely private. And cool. I guess the idea is that we want to help mob become successful.
So you're a private business, and run by you, founded and directed by you. So we're not talking about a government organisation. This is free enterprise, brother.
That's right.
Beautiful.
That's right.
Continue. Thank you, brother. Yep.
Yeah, no problem. So I started in this world. When I started, apparently all the data we could come up with said that there was less than 100 Aboriginal property investors in Australia. So I basically was determined to see if we could change that. Property investment for me was a powerful vehicle. It enabled me to build myself a property portfolio, make myself financially abundant, get my family out of housing commission where we were sort of stuck up until I could invest in property and build.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my family resonating with living below the poverty line, and now being able to, I guess, go out there and create my own future, irrespective of the past that I've had. Property's been a powerful vehicle for me. So now empowering more mob to be able to do the same, take their financial future into their own hands, in their own lives,
mm-hmm.
And set a really good example for the people that they influence. So I refer to our people that are doing this as cycle breakers. You know, we've all come from different sets of circumstances, all different sort of adversities and setbacks, and there's always one in every family that's going to go out there and change
that, set a
different path.
And you was it in your family.
I was in my family. All of my clients, they're in their family. And so we sort of exist to serve the cycle breaker, to get out there and set the bar for somewhere else. And inevitably, you know, for example, we meet with people every day.
Yep.
They're setting up several million dollar portfolios. Right.
Beautiful.
To date, we've created over 100 Aboriginal property millionaires ourselves.
Beautiful.
And we've had a challenging time this last 5 years. This next financial year, we'll create another 150 just this year alone.
Beautiful.
Right. So it just speaks to where we are as a people. But all that work being done by the cycle breaker, and I guess our service just exists because, you know, the time for asking for permission of the government, I think that's over. And I said the time for asking permission in general is over. And so this service sort of exists to serve you to go out there and take that future in your own hands.
Beautiful.
If that makes sense.
So, brother, we're talking about our clients, potential clients, come to you to the table to have a yarn with you, Indigenous Wealth. And like they could be in a job situation, but we're talking about building empires in our spare time or with assets as such. Is that the case, brother?
That's right. That's right. So pretty much, so for us to get the ball rolling, if you have like a, call it 150 grand in super savings or equity, you're able to pretty much get in the market and buy an investment property.
Okay.
What we'll show you how to do is how to build a property portfolio that'll enable you to set yourself up with a, maybe, for example, self-funded retirement.
Okay.
Set yourself and your kids up for generational wealth. How are you going to pass on assets to generation, and what sort of, you know, trajectory you want that to be? How much money you want to leave behind, right? Give yourself enough passive income to chase a dream that you've had, do a business idea, give yourself some financial confidence. Like, whatever it is, you know, we sort of reverse engineer a property portfolio starting from where your goal is. For example, clients I met with this morning, looking down the barrel of $200,000 passive income is the goal.
Yep.
So we're looking at how do we build them a $4 million property portfolio over the next decade or even more, right?
So we're possibly talking about early retirement too, aren't we?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yep,
if
beautiful.
You can get, so for example, like what's the first bill we all pay, right? It's your rent, it's a roof over your head. After that, we feed the kids, right? And so just like you said at the start, I had a little giggle to myself. You know, money's not everything, but it's right up there with oxygen.
That's right, brother.
100%. And so what this is really about doing is like how do we build like a financial ecosystem that allows you and yours to live life however you want to, not spend, you know, 40, 50 hours a week clocking in and clocking out for someone, spend the time with your own people, doing the things that you love, spending time with your kids, raising them up in culture, doing whatever it is that you feel like you should be doing, as opposed to just getting out there in the rat race.
All right, beautiful. So let's talk about the process when dealing with Indigenous Wealth. Give you a call or knock on your door, what have you. Number one, we're talking about identifying how IW, Indigenous Wealth, can help. So start with that, brother, the initial phone call.
Initial phone call. So how it works is we sort of give you a bit more of an explanation of like how it works, what we do. But in a nutshell, what we do is we sit down, understand your goals, map out a strategy to get you from where you are today to your end goal.
Yep.
And then our team will walk you through that entire process from start to finish. So that's everything from finding the right property and doing everything involved. So for the clients investing in super, for example, so our financial planner will set up your super fund. Mortgage broker will get your finance sorted.
Yep.
We'll find you the right property in the right areas, give you all the research so you can make the informed decision about where you want to invest.
Okay.
Then our legal team will go through the contract, literally everything until that property is purchased. And then us as a team will catch up every 6 months, 12 months, see how the portfolio is going and continue to build that wealth over time.
Lovely.
So the initial call, what it looks like is give you a call, help you understand what it is that we do, get an idea around your goals, look at booking in a time for us to have a one-on-one consultation and go over it a bit more in depth. A bit more in depth.
And good debt, we're talking good debt. We're talking good debt, aren't we?
Oh, we're talking good debt, yeah. So I guess there's always these two things, a good debt versus bad debt, right?
Sure.
So bad debt's anything that's going to cost you. You're going to keep working and paying that debt. Good debt's anything that's going to pay you, right? And so there's no limit to how much debt I can get into.
Sure.
If it pays me something.
Yep.
And so how do we build assets that are going to produce enough income for you to either, well, A, continue getting into debt for now, but B, in time, be able to provide you a passive income and financial freedom.
Well, I've always said there's good debt and there's bad debt. And bad debt is do everything but think. That's what debt is. But if we're talking about property, that's good debt. And then when you talk about Indigenous Wealth, you guys look at property for a client, for example. So you help them find the right property that's going to be in a good area with schools around, with transport around, a good place where people could rent, and the rent is high that covers the mortgage, so to speak. So you help in that space. Is that right, Bradley?
Yeah, that's right. But I'll give you something for free, right? So there's three things that you're looking for when you're looking for a good investment property, right? So the first thing is capital growth potential. I want to know if the area is going to grow in value.
Okay.
Bear in mind, the average growth rate of property has been about 6.8% per annum for the last like 50 years. So you can bank on that, but we're looking for areas that are going to do better than that. The things that go into an area that do better than that are population growth. You hit the nail on the head, infrastructure investments, so schools, shopping centers, roads, transport networks, things that people use.
Yep.
Right, a well diversified economy, so lots of different industries in the area, right, and then a good understanding and a good affluent demographic, people that make money, right, so good GDP. those sort of four things are going to make up your core, but there's a bunch of other things too, but if you can identify those, then you're probably onto a good area.
Yep.
Second thing is, whatever you buy, the rent's got to cover the holding costs.
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of people invest in a bunch of different ways, but for us black holes getting in the market, first property, second property, I don't want to be paying nothing out of my pocket. So I need to make sure that property is going to pay for itself.
Sure.
Right? So pays for the rates, pays for the maintenance, pays for the property manager, pays for
exactly.
Everything.
Right? Yeah.
Third thing.
It becomes the financial vehicle, doesn't it?
It becomes a financial vehicle. Absolutely. Yep. Does its own thing. Yeah. Right? I'll tell you a story about that in a moment. But the third thing is a high demand rental market. So something I'm looking for is called vacancy rates. So I can literally look up my area, vacancy rates, use SQM research, but the lower that number, the more higher demand the rental market. Right? So I want a very high demand rental market. If I've got those three things, I've got an area that's growing, I've got a property that's paying for itself, and I've got an area where if I lost a tenant, I get another one very quickly.
Yes.
Those three things are going to enable me to hold that property for as long as I need to.
Beautiful.
I can spend as much time in the market, and that's going to keep growing. Now, if I could buy one property 20 years ago and hold it for all this time, I would have made a lot of money.
Yep.
So the idea is buy and hold, do that in a safe way.
Yep.
So those three things will enable you to do that.
Okay. And when you're talking property, Bradley, are you talking established homes or brand new homes?
Oh, mixed bag. We look at everything.
Right, yeah, beautiful. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for sharing. I think it's fantastic. Now, also, there's conversations out there that you can purchase a property from your superannuation. Is that the case?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So our financial planners will walk you through this in a lot of detail. But I guess what we have been finding is that most of our clients, they've got a nice, big, hefty super. And what I've seen is like people with as low as 150 grand with super, rolling that over into a self-managed super fund and then using that self-managed super fund to invest in property. Now, it's still your super. You can't access it, like meaning I can't realise any of the profit. But instead of investing with, you know, one of the major retail super funds or anything like that, I'm basically investing my own money into my own assets. They're going to serve only me. I'm not sharing that with anyone.
Yep.
That's for my financial future. So the self-managed super fund it is.
Yep.
And you roll that over into a self-managed super fund, use that to buy an investment property, and that ticks away until retirement.
Yep. Beautiful. With that, my friend, brother, let's just talk about the service you provide. We're talking about our client out there going into good debt, but also it's a bit daunting, and you go and get a $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 loan to invest in a property, what have you. The cost on top of that regarding your service, do you guys work on a commission as the purchase of the property, or do you have a fee, or does it vary depending on the purchase and the clients you're dealing with and what they've got as assets? How does that work, brother?
No, so we do a flat fee per purchase.
Okay.
Right? And so that's 10 grand per property. We don't take any commission or anything like that, because then we'd be motivated to, I guess, sell your property for a higher price.
Yep.
Our job is to make as much money as you can going into it.
Yep.
Because we want to help you get around to the next property, next property, next property, and ultimately retire off that.
Okay.
Right? So the idea is to make as much money going in as possible. We charge a fee for service. We do the whole thing, start to finish, manage all that nitty-gritty, give you all the information. You make all the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly make sure we get you a good quality property. That's it.
And hold their hand to guide them on the journey, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I guess the main thing, the difference between our service and many others is that, firstly, it's much cheaper. Secondly, it's just as much about education as it is about getting a good result, right? Because the real generational wealth happens is once we go out there and make you a millionaire, you know, you're going to impact all the people around you. They're going to want to know how you did it. And if you're able to sort of articulate how you build a property portfolio, I guess my dream is that Indigenous wealth doesn't have to be around for 100 years because all black fellas in this country own property. We're super successful.
Exactly. Well, then we're talking knowledge. Once you've got the knowledge, knowledge is power, and you pass the knowledge on to your younger ones, you know, coming through, and then it creates that learning process, and Indigenous wealth is happening for our black people in the space that non-Indigenous people have been operating for years and on our land.
Exactly. Good. We've been left out of the game for too long. I think that time's over now, brother.
All right, brother. Bradley, how do people get in touch with Indigenous wealth?
Right, so you can give us a call, one of our deadly staff, or you can just drop us an email. So if you just drop us an email, info@indigenouswealth.com.au, or follow any one of our socials. That's on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, me personally. Yeah. I don't mind. However best to get in touch with us. Indigenous Wealth across the board. You give us a Google, plenty will come up.
Too dearly, brother. Well, you got me fired up. Beautiful information. Knowledge is power. Let's get it together. Bradley, you keep smiling, my brother. We'll be in touch. You take care. Stay warm, and we'll yarn soon, brother.
Thanks for your time, brother. Thanks for having me.
All the best. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. Bradley Gimbert, his name is, Indigenous Wealth, founder and director. So if you're looking at investing, if you're in a JOB or you're running a business and you'd like to look at property as a financial vehicle, get educated and have a talk to this brother, Indigenous Wealth, and they'll guide you directly no matter where you are in the country, mob. But we're talking about black on black. Here it is, Indigenous Wealth. Let's get it together, you mob. Have your saying yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, based here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And the deadly number is 1-800-422-416. And stay tuned to your daily program, National Talk Black.
Broken, mind them by your family. Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
To the ZK, time to hustle hard for the payday. This a conquest on my way to the TOP. I got no time for the enemies. These possible tongues say friend of me. But the strong heart of a R.E.B. got a snake, but I act finicky. So I kill him quick with a free flow. I break necks and kill egos. Keep them coming back like good puss on a free coat. I'm about to make change like a Mino. Two puffs of the weed smoke. Sick of my broke friends with no pay. Always come around and freeload to the bad vibes. Tell them still I beat. It's R.E.B. to the cemetery.